and quite pleased with herself.
"What is it?"
Rial asked when Lady Avelier joined her near the Desai Child's secret garden. Lady Avelier shook her head and sighed.
"Wizards, both," she replied.
"Both? Rukia and..."
"And both of her parents,"
Lady Avelier explained with a wide grin. She had watched Rukia in the tent with her parents. She had expected a quiet night of hugs and kisses, perhaps a comforting story or two. What she had seen instead was a training session in the magical arts, as regimented and trying as anything she would inflict on her own, much older students. Rukia's parents, particularly Kavita, the mother, had been instructing the child on
the glory of Attar the Merciless, the Yellow Goddess, the Bringer of Light and Fire.
Rukia could conjure a fan of flames with ease, and the power of her spell was substantial. Clearly, this little child of only a few living years was on the verge of casting fireballs. Fireballs, though she was just a child. The thought of it took Lady Avelier's breath away.
"Her parents practice the art?"
Rial asked.
"But they are Bedine, that is forbidden."
Lady Avelier waved her hand to silence her student, for the point was moot, wholly irrelevant even. Lady Avelier was well aware of the fact that the Bedine counted magic users among their ranks, whatever the edicts of Shade Enclave. It didn't matter, to Avelier or to the Netherese rulers. The ban was in place merely to keep these magic users in the shadows, instead of in a leading role among potentially insurgent tribes. Rial kept talking, but Lady Avelier waved her hand all the harder, bidding her to silence. The diviner was considering their plans in light of the new information she had just garnered about Rukia. She worked through the expected sequence. Speed would be the key. Catty Bree, exhausted from her lessons, didn't return to her garden that night, or until late the next day, when she trotted among the wind-blown rock walls in the guise of a wolf once more. This had become her favorite animal form. She felt so light on her paws, and her senses were so keen, her hearing and smell particularly, that she felt quite safe loping around the plains. And she liked the way the world looked through the eyes of a canine, with their broader field of vision. While she missed the vibrant colors of her human eyes, the clarity of the duller world amazed her, and the distinct structures of the grasses, and her ability to detect even the slightest movement. Still, she saw nothing out of place as she trotted into her refuge. But something was amiss, she realized quickly, as foreign smells tickled her nose. She glanced all around, then reverted to her human form and continued her scan, beginning a spell to detect any magic that might be around. Before she had hardly begun it, a wave of dispelling energy washed over her, and a voice from behind her said,
"No tricks, little one."
Catty Bree swung around, to see a beautiful woman dressed in flowing purple and blue robes staring back at her. And others came into view as well, their mass invisibility dismissed, 5 similarly dressed but younger women floating just above her garden, their arms outstretched.
"Surrender easily, young one,"
a 7th woman said, coming into view beside the oldest of the group, who began to murmur as if in spellcasting. Catty Bree's eyes went wide in the realization that the dreaded Netherese had found her once again.
"We wish to speak with you, Rukia,"
the newest of the 7 said sweetly, too sweetly, and Catty Bree felt the weight of magical suggestion behind the voice.
"We are not enemies to you."
She wanted to believe it. She almost believed it, but she realized that was the point of the magical enhancement, of course. 7 against 1, 7 waiting for her. She could not fight here. Catty Bree became a bird and flew away. Or tried to, for she came to understand the hard way that the floating 5 wizards were actually anchor points. The oldest of the group released her spell, and the expanse between those 5 filled with webbing, just as Catty Bree started to fly through it. She slammed into the web, quickly entangled. She thought of her mother's lesson, and knew that fire was her only chance, although she would surely get singed in the effort. Before she could launch any spells, though, she saw sparks all around her as the five floating wizards ignited their hands, burning free of the web, which now, without anchors, fell to the ground, taking Catty Bree down with it. She landed hard and felt the breath blown out of her, and in the stunning impact reverted to her human form, though she found herself no less entangled. But then the webbing was gone only a moment later, and a trio of young women rushed over to her. She became a bear, thinking to tear them apart, or she tried to, for even as she began her enchantment, several waves of dispelling magic assailed her. Then came a more insidious spell, striking at her mind, numbing her body to the calls of her thoughts, holding her in place. She battled it, and even managed to keep herself somewhat free of its paralyzing grasp. The distraction cost her, though. She felt her hands yanked behind her, magical bindings immediately applied. She cried out and struggled, but she had only recently turned 6, and so was no physical match for the older women. A hood went over her head, and she was thrown to the ground, and she felt a thick sack being pulled down over her. She kicked out, and took some pleasure in hearing one of the sorceresses yelp in pain. She was already caught, however, and too far into the sack. The others stuffed her legs in behind her, and the drawstring tightly closed. She struggled and got kicked hard, stunningly hard, brutally hard, and then again when she moved some more. "Speak not, and move not," said the same woman who had first addressed her, "for every word and every shift will bring a beating to you, I promise." Stubborn Catty Bree started to protest and promptly got kicked again. Then someone sat on her, crushing her down, holding her still.
"Kimuriel is a drow of his word," Drago Quick informed Paris Ulfbinder through their crystal ball connection. "He studies with the Illithids, and they are very aware that something is indeed transpiring."
"But they do not yet know what that might be," Paris reasoned.
"They sense a disjointedness in the multiverse. They warn of chaos and of celestial changes."
"Cryptic words are useless words."
"For now," Drago Quick replied abruptly. "Give them time."
"Have you located your former prisoner? Have you determined if this drow, Drizdo Erden, is indeed a favored mortal?"
"None have found him, though many look, including Jarlaxle of Bragandy Earth. It is as if Drizd has simply disappeared from the known universe. But no matter. He was not of paramount importance to me, and surely not now when I..."